Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston. With me today is Cindy. Cindy is was a client of ours, has gone through our program, and she graciously agreed to talk with me today, just a little bit about her experiences. Cindy, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So as always, when we do these sort of segments, I have just a few questions that I want to get into. But, you know, before we get into that, Cindy, do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself? Like, how you came to be here and, you know, talking to me, you know, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, you know, Ralph and I got married December of 2014. Mm-hmm. So this is like multiple marriages for us. We're older people, okay? And you wanted to know how I contacted you or?
Yeah, what brought you to?
To this point?
Yeah, to this point, to talking with me or talking, I believe you were working with Linda, right? One of our couples. Yeah.
Well, you know, we were married for a little over 3 years. And then all of a sudden, summer of 2018, we started having, difficulties. Okay. And I found myself in a place where I was fearful and desperate, actually, because from that summer of 2018 until I contacted you in the summer of 2020, I noticed that Ralph, my husband, was getting really erratic and irrational. Anytime we had some sort of a conflict or disagreement, he would start accusing me, blaming me for the problem, stonewalling, so like not wanting to talk about it at all, you know, just trying to shut me down, and threatening divorce, which I don't think anybody really wants to hear that, right? You know, you never really marry somebody wanting to divorce them, right?
You said so, this was going on for a couple of years then, is what it sounds like.
This is going on, kind of started in, the divorce threat started in November of 2018, okay? And he threatened me 10 times. So we had like 10 big arguments from 2018 till summer of 2020. We didn't really argue all that much, but it's always over the same issue, okay? Mostly his adult children, his grown children, who just won't do anything. They're in their 40s. They won't do anything for themselves. And it's this constant, what our lives became was just living from one crisis to the next with them, particularly the one daughter who has four, I'm going to say illegitimate children. Okay. You can kind of get the pictures. Yeah. Somebody, they just don't do for themselves. And so it got to the point where, you know, we had no life of our own. We were constantly caring for this adult child and the four grandchildren. And we weren't spending any time with ourselves, for us. We had no real relationship, you know? And I was not happy about that. I was trying to find ways, okay, well, how can we, you know, be together more, or how this is just overtaking our lives, basically, is how it was.
Well, I think it sounds like, you know, this would have been a very difficult situation. I mean, here is your husband, and you kind of have this idea that you should take care of family, especially your children. You should take care of your grandchildren. But it was causing damage. So, you know, like I can kind of get the idea of like, okay, what may have made this difficult to solve on your own? But I'm going to, you know, ask you directly, what do you think prevented the two of you from solving these things previously?
Well, you know, I originally thought that this was just a matter of enabling, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, just doing too much for somebody. And I learned later that these two girls have mental issues that I didn't know about, okay? The sociopathic behavior, okay? I didn't know about. He knew about it, but never told me. Mm. Okay. And so when, you know, when I married him, I was envisioning this, you know, like a partnership. You know, we're older people, and I was looking for this mature married relationship. You know, I was thrilled that he had grandchildren because I don't have any of my own. I thought this could be really fun, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I was looking forward to getting together and doing things with all the family, his children and my children, you know, like any normal person would want to do, right? I wanted to have fun with everybody and have a great relationship. But it was, like I said, it was to the point where, you know, he was doing things for them that they could have done for themselves. It's one thing helping somebody, but doing for them, okay, when they should be doing it for themselves, like buying your own groceries, paying mm-hmm. your own bills, right? When you're 40 years old and you're working.
Should be done. I'm curious here, like as you, I mean, so this was a, you know, I wouldn't call this a new relationship, but was there any indication that there's going to be some baggage like this? Because I imagine a lot of relationships, everyone's going to have baggage of some sort, something that they're dealing with. And were you aware of the issues that you and your husband were?
I mean, yeah, we all have, at our age, we all have something going on.
Right? I don't think it's even your age. I mean, even me.
You know, I mean, you know, I was always very, you know, we all seemed to get along and everybody seemed, you know, like for 3 years, we were okay. Didn't have any trouble. Okay. Everybody was kind of getting along. And then it seemed to me that the more the daughters wanted, if he ever would say, well, like, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you should pay your own rent. Well, no, you should buy your own groceries. Well, you know, no, you need to take care of yourself. If he would ever say that to them, okay, then it would be my fault. Obviously, you know, I'm the problem. I'm the one saying this. And they would then withdraw their so-called love.
Well, so you became this wedge in between. Yeah. Your husband and his children, because he wouldn't have said no if you
hadn't. Well, that's their perception, yeah. You know, and it was like, what was I going to say? It seemed to me that when they, with me being in the picture, they perceived that they were getting less from him.
Gotcha.
Because of me.
So I'm curious, what got you to this tipping point? At some point you had to have said to yourself, okay, this is too much and the problem isn't resolving itself and I need some support here.
Well, they started in the summer of 2018 telling him, it seemed like they were always making little comments about like, well, Cindy doesn't care about your family because she doesn't consider her children and us to be brothers and sisters. Well, I don't.
I get that. I mean, if they're in their 40s, and they didn't grow up together,
it's just, we're not the Brady Bunch.
You know, to be blunt, yeah, I think I would agree with it. Okay.
And that's my opinion. I'm allowed to have that opinion. If you want to call yourselves brothers and sisters, go ahead, you know. But to them, family means, oh, that's another person to do something for me. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. So these are my new brothers now. So now I got more family that I can pretty much take advantage of.
I can lean on. Yeah.
Yeah. So that started. So he called me up. He was all upset. And I'm like, why are you saying, well, obviously I care, but I married you. I care about your family. Why? I don't feel that way. And then there was a thing about how I have more pictures of my family in the house than of his family. Like, stupid stuff like that. I actually counted. He has 24. I have only 14. So like that is not an argument. Okay.
So if we're going to be actually nitpicky about this, then.
They were coming up with stuff like this and little by little, you know, like just kind of like trying. I feel like they were trying to just wear him down to get me to go. Oh, and then the daughter accused me of calling Child Protective Services on her.
So this looked like, it sounded like this started to escalate quite a bit.
Quite a bit. And I actually did seek counseling prior in 2018. I just went for a brief period of time because really I wanted to learn how to protect myself from mm-hmm. it, basically. And I learned some things, but it seemed to be okay. And then in December, I called Protective Services, and I'm an evil woman, and they just had this big blowout, and they all ganged up, both daughters all ganged up on me. They told the whole world, all the family, all their friends, how terrible I am. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but Ralph kind of looked at me and said, "What's wrong with my daughters?" He started to see, seems to me that they just want me for my bank account. Mm-hmm. He said, "Tell me, what do you think it, why am I, what's wrong with them?" I said, "You want to know my opinion? I'm just an outsider coming in. Okay. But my opinion is, number one, you never taught them how to be responsible adults. Okay. I don't think. Number two, you never taught them to respect you as a parent, as a father. There's a certain reverence that everyone has for their parents, for their grandparents, aunts, uncles, great aunts, uncles. There's something about those people. They're special. I don't know. I was raised that way."
Right. You know? So Cindy, here you are in this situation, and your husband makes this kind of realization, like something's wrong here. Do you feel like you did anything to kind of support that shift, or do you think that's completely on his end?
Well, you mean that I did anything personally to have
I'm wondering if you were doing something to kind of support this idea. I'm wondering, I want you to take some, I'm just wondering if you can take some credit here.
I told him, I said, I think, there's no reason why you can't have a relationship with your daughters and your grandchildren, but you have to make it a healthy one. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't allow them to manipulate you. And you have your own life. We have a life as a couple. And then there's, the life that you have with your children.
It sounds to me like you really tried to support your husband with what he wanted. He really wanted to have that good relationship with his kids.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to. I don't want to pit people against each other. I don't like drama, So I want everybody to get along. I want us to all live in peace. I don't want this to be them against us or them against me. That's why. Why would I do?
Trying to support some healthy boundaries then between Ralph, the kids, yourself.
But he never thought that was an issue. Mm-hmm. See, he never thought that they were taking advantage of him or that they were manipulating him because he's just so used to doing it.
So did you ever get to a point, I'm curious, did you ever get to a point where you questioned whether you should threaten, just go ahead with the divorce? Here's your husband who threatened it many times.
I did. And I was sad about that because I didn't enter into that marriage with the thought, this is the second marriage for me. And there's that sort of element of, well, I failed.
Of course, no one really wants to be in that situation where they said, okay, well, this relationship didn't work.
I failed again. And I really, overall, he's really a great guy. He really is a good guy, I thought about it. I thought to myself that, maybe I should, but I didn't want to. I really love the man, and there's a lot of good in him. And I wanted to see if there was, the rage was, he goes into an absolute rage. Okay. And that was something that I couldn't handle. That's why I came to you when he started getting into these rages. I felt I was fearful. I was sad. I kind of felt a little betrayed. I felt a little gypped kind of
What do you mean by that? You felt betrayed or gypped?
I felt like he knew that there were issues with the daughters. Okay. Mm. Like he even told me, he said, "Oh, my daughters would never like anybody I'm ever with. They never liked anybody I was ever with. They suffer from separation anxiety."
Okay.
Like being away from him.
So he kind of was a little bit aware of this.
But he never told me that, you know. So I kind of felt like, well, you know, I entered into this marriage thinking this was going to be, you know, a certain way. And it was for 3 years. Okay. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff starts coming out, you know, that I really didn't know about.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. This is, you know, and I see this over and over and over again. It's really easy to have a wonderful, healthy relationship when the stress is pretty low or you don't have problems. And then when you start introducing all these complications, everyone has their own little quirks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds to me like your husband specifically, you've mentioned this rage or this anger problem that comes out, and he tends to, I can't remember if you said it today, but I saw it somewhere, this blame comes out.
Yeah, you know, he's going to blame me, he's going to accuse me, he's going to not talk about it, and then he's going to threaten to divorce me. That was the pattern.
And it would be really easy, I would imagine, to respond in kind to that, to fight, you know, here's your husband who's really angry, to shut down and to back off and not really respond to it, and neither which would have served you very well. So
go on.
I'm curious, what do you think was the most helpful thing that you did to bring you into a better place with you and Ralph?
Well, first of all, Linda told me a lot about what could be the underlying reasons,
mm-hmm.
why he goes into this, you know, if there's any little kind of conflict, why is he having that reaction? Okay.
So it was a lot of like trying to have some better understanding for your husband.
Yes.
Oh, like what were you, I want to ask you, what were you thinking was going on with your husband before? Or what were you saying about these sort of interactions with him?
I didn't know. I never saw anything like it before. I never saw anybody in such a rage before. I didn't know what that was.
So you were just
really confused. Thinking to myself, is he getting Alzheimer's or something? Yeah, okay. He's older.
You know, like, really confusing. Wrong with his brain. You had no idea how to even approach that at all.
I originally tried to like explain rational. My original approach was, well, if I tell him how I'm feeling, and if I provide some sort of maybe rational facts or explanation, then he would understand where I was coming from and he would not be angry.
Well, sure, that makes
sense. Made him more angry.
Yeah, you know, just I'll be, you know, rational and logical, and Ralph should just be fine with that, right?
Didn't work.
No.
Shut him down, made him angrier. And, you know, Linda showed me that, you know, he's a combat veteran, which we never talk about. He was never treated for PTSD or anything like that, okay? Mm-hmm. And Linda said to me, there's a couple things going on here. Yeah, there's a little bit of guilt, a little bit of shame, you know, from the way his daughters kind of,
sure,
you know, came out. So he's kind of parenting from this perspective of, you know, guilt and shame. Same thing with the grandkids, applying that to them, okay? Mm-hmm. Then there's that codependency going on. And then there's the PTSD. So that whole combination, just, you know, if there's any little bit of emotion involved, he has a really hard time handling it.
So Linda was able to help guide you along and figure things out and whatnot. And for those of you who don't know, Linda is one of the coaches on our team. Absolutely great. Especially, actually, oddly enough, with these sort of cases. Like, Linda has a lot of experience with like codependency issues and things like that. I mean,
because part of the, you can't really help yourself and help, like, in this case, Ralph, if you don't understand what's going on.
Of course.
So it was huge for me to say, oh, this is where he's coming from. This is his point of view. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also understanding that, you know, he isn't me. We have different ways of handling stress or, you know, emotion. And he, quite frankly, he may not even be capable of expressing how he really feels. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? His level of, you know, communication skills may not be what mine are, you know?
It's very possible.
You know, so for me...
Yeah, I always think, like, it's interesting that people approach their relationship thinking, okay, like, my partner is coming from a very similar place as I am. They're thinking very similar to me. They have the same capabilities as me. And that's oftentimes not the case, you know. And I found this interesting. I remember in school quite a long time ago, one of the things that was drilled into my head was this idea that, you know, even though a person might appear as though they come from a very similar background, they probably don't. And that it's always best not to assume that, you know, many things,
I'll tell you, as in sync as Ralph and I were, or, you know, we are in a lot of ways, that was a huge eye-opener for me, mm-hmm. realizing that. And also realizing how I contributed, you know, I kind of have a, you know, like, you have to look at yourself too, you know, it's not just him.
It would have been really easy to see, okay, here's my husband who doesn't have good boundaries with his kids, and he's, you know, going into these rages. Well, that's all his fault. That would have been really, really easy to say, but probably not very helpful in the long run.
Right. So I learned that I kind of have a control issue too. I'm a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. You know, I like things done a certain way. And when you tell me you're going to do something and you don't, I kind of don't like that. You know what I mean?
It would have been easy to not see how that could clash. I mean, you're used to you. And it sometimes you need someone to point out, hey, maybe a little bit of adjustment here or there.
Yeah.
So where are you and Ralph at in terms of your relationship now? How are things between the two of you?
Right now, I'm going to almost start crying because he's unbelievable right now. Okay. I mean, in fact, I took out these two cards to share with you what he wrote for our anniversary, which was in December. He wrote, "It's not what is whispered in my ears, but what's in my heart, my soul. You are part of me and I'm part of you. Look at what that fairy dust has done." You know, it's a little poetic. "Giving us a wonderful relationship where we are one. What a wonderful world. In this world, there is no love like mine for you. In this world, there's no heart like mine for yours. Know this, I love you with all of my heart. I want you to know I'm yours." And then for Easter, he said, "I feel blessed to be taken by the most beautiful wife in the world. I love you always and forever. Thank you for making my life amazing. I will love you till the last day of my life. Thinking about you makes me happy. You're the best wife any man can ever wish for."
Wow. So it went from threats of divorce to, and you were telling me here that Ralph didn't know how to express himself very well.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it. You should see the poem he wrote for that was read when we got married. Beautiful. He's pretty good with that. But this, remember, these were moments. These were like occasions. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like he's able to at least write it down and make those moments special.
He has been bringing me flowers for no reason whatsoever. "Oh, I think it's just a sunny day out. Spring's here. I think you need a spring bouquet." He leaves the coffee mug out for me every day. Mm-hmm. The spoon so I can stir my coffee with cream. Okay. He calls me just to say hi. He sends me little text messages. You know, checks to see how I am. Christmas this year, usually I'm the last on the ring or the rung. And I don't need a lot of gifts, you know what I mean? But Christmas is a big deal and you should get something. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for the past 2 years, it was, well, I'm running around for the grandkids, you know, buying them their 30 gazillion toys. And Cindy, sorry, I didn't think of you. And I kind of didn't like that. I was like, kind of hurt my feelings, you know?
Were you able to express that to him?
I did. And Linda taught me how to speak to him, you know, so that I don't create a conflict. And I told him, I said, you know, one couple things, birthdays, anniversary, and Christmas to me are definitely dates that must be acknowledged and shared by us, like as a couple. That's special.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to do anything big, chocolate, candy, you know, whatever, something small. But, you know, we are each other's top priority, and especially on those particular occasions. Okay. And so for Christmas this year, he actually got stuff for me before he did. Oh, that's wonderful. I was kind of like, whoa, you know. And even every day he'll come home. Hi, you know, how's my sweetheart? Oh, I'm so happy with you. I love being with you. You're such a good woman. You know.
So I think all those things are great. To me, you know, one of the hallmarks I feel like of a very healthy relationship is exactly what you're describing there around Christmas, is the ability to say, okay, here's something that's upsetting to me, and I can give some feedback to my partner, and then it brings us the two of you closer together. That to me is a very, very healthy relationship. I'm curious though, like with what do you think made the biggest difference in for the two of you?
I think, well, first of all, of course, recognizing what the underlying problems were. Reading about them, researching them, trying to understand, okay? Looking at myself and how I contributed, that and letting go myself of, you know, things that maybe weren't that important, you know, that I was being picky about. But learning, Linda taught me some phrases and words to use when I'm making a request or when I'm trying to tell him something, you know, that maybe he might get uncomfortable with. So by using those phrases and those words, I'm able to bring him from a point where maybe, you know, he might start to get emotional or upset, where he it brings him down, brings him back, and it diffuses that maybe potential conflict. That helped a lot.
Wonderful.
Learning how to speak to him.
If someone else was in a similar situation, now that you're kind of past all of this, what kind of advice would you give to someone else in a similar similar circumstances?
Number one, pray. I pray. Pray. Okay. Try to listen, you know, try to see the signs. One thing, you know, of course, you know, understanding, I understood during this process that like leaving may not really be the answer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because we're older people and you may find maybe somebody else, but you might discover that you're going to have the same issues with somebody else.
Yeah.
Same issues. So, you know,
well, yeah, so, everyone thinks there's a magical perfect match out there and everyone's going to have some struggles, and you bring a lot of those struggles with you.
So I don't know if I read that somewhere, but that light bulb kind of went off in my head, you know? So, you know, I would, you know, like really look closely. I mean, unless you're like physically in danger, you know, maybe like really look closely before you consider like leaving the relationship. What else? Get help. I mean, like I did, okay? Like with an impartial person. Okay, you know, because you're going to ask your family and friends, and your best friend may give you advice or try to or whatever, but usually they're trying to give you advice from a standpoint of like making you feel better.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of well-intentioned people out there, but you know, the truth of it is that we don't really learn a lot of these skills growing up unless you really, really try to seek that out.
I mean, you know, Linda's impartial, right?
Yeah.
You know me. So she brought up a lot of stuff that I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, oh, you mean, oh my goodness. Well, I didn't know that, you know, like really made the light bulb go off in my head. Okay. Yeah. And really like telling me, okay, step by step, try this, do this. And you really have to do what that person tells you to do too. Like, don't just go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. you really have to do it. Sometimes it's kind of painful. You know, like there were some interactions that I had with Ralph that I was really scared to start some conversations. And I was really, really afraid to start, but I knew I had to do it because Linda said I should, you know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why those problems tend to not get solved, is they, a lot of these things are uncomfortable, but necessary. And so if you, you know, a lot of times if you don't have someone kind of pushing on you to be like, you know, you got to do this, you're just, a lot of people fall into those same patterns that.
I mean, you can't, I couldn't solve it alone. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it alone. Obviously I was struggling for 2 years. I couldn't do it alone. I needed help. I needed advice. I needed to learn how to address the problem, how to help correct it, how to take care of myself at the same time. Okay. You know, asking them for advice, you know, remember, you also have to take care of yourself as well. You have to realize that you are still an amazing person, you know, even with all whatever problems you're having. And, you know, there's no reason why you can't be happy despite the problems or the difficulties that you might have, you know, because we're all imperfect people. You know, we're both imperfect. We're perfectly imperfect, you know? And so, you know, does Ralph irritate me still with a lot of things he does? Like, yeah, like he will never take his shoes off. You know what I mean? Like, he hates to be told what to do. I get it. You know, and it kind of irks me a little bit, but you know what? There's no reason why I cannot be happy with this person and with myself and with us together, you know?
Well, Cynthia, I really appreciate, you know, how open you've been today with this. I know it's not always easy to kind of open up your life and some of those personal details, especially, you know, with a lot of people that could be looking in on this. So I, you know, just want to say I thank you. And this has been, you know, great to hear your side of the things.
I hope it helps somebody else. You know,
wow. We do these on occasion, and I always kind of, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, part of this, obviously there's some amount of marketing thing to this, but you know, on a personal level, it does really nice to hear when, you know, we have new people come in and say, hey, I heard, you know, Cynthia's story, or, you know, whoever, Venus's story, or Leah's story. And, you know, I just knew I needed to come. Like, it's nice to know that, you know, some of these things are making a difference, and then we're able to help those people. I mean,
well, you know, I found you online. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how. I was skeptical. I thought, yeah, you know, this costs a little bit of money. You know what I mean? Like, do I really want to spend the money? And I thought to myself, wait a minute, my life, my marriage is that important to me that at this point, I'm like, I feel like I have to do whatever I can to help myself and to help my husband and to help us, because I didn't want to continue going down that path, you know. And I'm really grateful because, and the support materials, by the way, are really great too, you know, like you have those videos. Yeah.
Well,
and
thanks. You have the lessons. I like to think you know, that
it's very helpful. And, no, you know, great. I really feel through this program that I'm so much more empowered and more confident. And, you know, I mean, you can't control what other people do. He eventually, if he does say, oh, I want to leave, I, you know, I don't think that's what he really wants. It's never what he really wanted. But I feel stronger now, you know. I feel like I have tools and I have knowledge that can help me move forward in this relationship. And I learned that all from Linda, really. Oh, so I'm grateful to her for that. Truly. Linda,
yeah, she's great. I love having her as part of our team. Well, Cynthia, like I said, you know, thank you very much for being, taking the time to be here today and speak with everyone. And if anyone else out there does need help or support, I mean, you can always check us out. Our website's www.highthrivecoaching.com. You can set up a free consultation just to see if it's right for you. Just hit the apply button on our website. All right. Once again, thanks, Cindy. Thank you, everyone else here, for listening, and I hope you all have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.